Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, sit tight. We're going to start the show in just a second. But first, I know a lot of you like listening to podcasts, duh. But here's the problem. There are now over a million podcasts out there to choose from. So you have to pick the very best. And for progressives, after my own podcast, of course, there's no better podcast out there than the Bill Press Pod by our old friend Bill Press. Yes, Bill Press is still at it, fighting for all the good progressive causes, telling the truth about the worst president in our history, and bringing us his podcast twice a week. Every Tuesday, Bill interviews a leading progressive, like this week, Congressman Tim Ryan, plugging hazard pay for nurses, doctors, paramedics, and others who stay on the job, putting their lives at risk every damn day. And then on Friday, Bill assembles three top Washington reporters to look back on the big stories of the week and expose the latest lies of Donald Trump. As a progressive, the Bill Press Pod is all you need to stay informed, outraged, and engaged. So join me in subscribing to Bill Press's new pod. Just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search for the Bill Press Pod, click on subscribe, and tell your friends to do the same. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their mitts.
Bob Zeska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Zeska.
The Bob Zeska Show.
The president's getting all of his missile names from Young Frankenstein for some reason, right? Super duper missile from our nation's capital. It is Tuesday, May 19, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1216 of the Trump crisis, 168 days until the 2020 presidential election. Can't come soon enough. Oh, look, sitting right over there is my good friend Buzz Burbank from Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Hello, Buzz. Hi.
Hey. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
It's great to be back. He's Bob.
Bob.
I'm Buzz.
Buzz.
And to ease the symptoms, in case we get the coronavirus, we've both been taking ecstasy.
And it's the best. I swear to God, every day I've been taking it.
We got a letter from our doctor. May as well get this out of the way up top. Bob, we have a confession. Bob has been using some of your Patreon dollars to pay me to walk his dog. Can use the extra income. So
great.
Thanks.
Yeah, trying to help.
This day in history. Did you know this? This year, 2020, marks the centennial of radio broadcasting.
Hey! All right.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
That's right. Radio could be 100 years old this year if it had survived.
That's right. Death by suicide. I swear to God.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Maybe you heard this, four NFL players were arrested over the weekend on various charges.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they all have to go to court to stand trial. And naturally, because of the pandemic, there'll be no spectators.
Rats! I was hoping to go.
You're a big, speaking of sports, you're a big NASCAR fan, right, Bob?
Oh, yes. I never miss it. I always go to all the NASCAR events. Yes, me.
The cars
I'm always
go
there.
Zoom, zoom.
Front row.
Yeah, you've always liked that.
Yes.
NASCAR held its first televised race in a while on mm-hmm. Sunday, and the stands were empty, of course, because, yeah. you know, safety. they took all the drivers' temperatures and then told them to drive as fast as possible.
All right, we're going to kick off the show with a brand new song from Rocky Mountain Mike. It is Super Duper, Super Duper Missile.
Super Duper! Super Duper Missile. Hidden behind your wall. Super Duper Missile. The White House about to fall. A bloated big orange baby. We're through the looking glass. 4 years of bad luck. Let's put Trump in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you believe in things that he just makes up, you suffer. Super duper missiles now.
Poor Stevie Wonder. Rocky Mountain Mike, why are you doing this to Stevie?
Super duper!
All right, there it is.
No, I think Stevie would be proud.
I think so. Rocky Mountain Mike, the great Rocky Mountain Mike, another classic yeah. right there. Got that right before the show started. I mean, literally seconds before we started today's show.
It's right. fresh. It's fresh out of the Rocky Mountain Mike ovens.
Yes, has that new Rocky Mountain Mike smell, doesn't it? Smells
oh,
great.
Oh, man. Yeah. Bob, where do you want to start? There's so much to talk about on the show today. It's been described as morbidly obese.
Hey, watch it.
How we're going to squeeze all that in.
I don't know. But, I mean, you know, the first thing I want to start out with today, Buzz, is
yes?
I'm sure you by now you've seen Trump's comments about Virginia, which is, they were, I would say, poorly timed, because here we are, an election is 168 days away, and Donald Trump is talking about attacking, I mean, literally like attacking, going after Virginia, a swing state. That's not smart.
I've missed this. I've been buried in other issues like the Pompeo thing and the yeah. Mike Flynn thing and the coronavirus thing, and I haven't gotten to this yet. What can you tell us about this?
Well, he was, I think, meeting with some farmers at the White House today. I hope social distance. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if
he met with farmers at the White House. I'm already laughing. Keep going.
He wasn't wearing a mask either. Here's what he said. We're going after Virginia with your crazy governor. We're going after Virginia. They want to take your Second Amendment away. You'll have nobody guarding your potatoes. I was waiting for your reaction. Was
I'm
perfect.
So glad I showed up for this.
Well, first of all, I should say, those of you who are going, potatoes? I should tell you that there are several potato farms in Virginia, and I think one of the people who really? Owns one of those potato farms was with Donald Trump at that event today at the White House. So, yeah. Put the potato thing aside, Donald Trump said, of course, that he said he's going after Virginia, and I think it's because of the series of gun laws that were passed in Virginia. And I assume by going after Virginia, what Donald Trump means is he's going to sue Virginia for violating the Second Amendment.
And apparently for banning potato guns.
That's right. Now those are so fun. Why would he want to do that?
Oh, you'll yeah. put your eye out.
Yeah, I know. Bah, you damn you, Ralph Northam, and your ban on potato guns. No, seriously, Donald Trump's been talking about Virginia and the gun laws that were passed there for some time right. now. So you're yeah. going after the Second Amendment. I wrote a salon piece about this weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and those gun measures passed in Virginia are about as commonsensical as you can possibly get right. with gun measures. There's no one going right. after anyone's Second Amendment, unless, of course, you're a child abuser or a spousal abuser, and then when you're under protection orders, you can't have any guns. Why is that bad? Someone needs to ask Donald Trump why that's bad.
Each of those things, each of the elements of the, that law, those laws, that package of laws, each of those things are things that individually have public approval, wide public approval among Democrats and Republicans, gun owners and non-gun owners. There's nothing nefarious in this bill toward the Second Amendment. But of course, the radicals will melodramatize this to make it seem like the end of their freedoms, which is you know, we're hearing a lot of these days.
And one of the things, Buzz, is one of the measures that was passed in Virginia, common sense measure, they merely expanded background checks to cover gun sales, private sales over the internet and so on. That's supported by something like 71% of the American people. 96% support among Democrats, 85% support among independents. By the way, the 71% number, that's among Republican voters. Just so you know, I mean, Republican voters are 71% behind expanding background checks. So, duh. I mean, this is not any sort of controversial move here. Meanwhile, there was, as I said before, there was a proposal that was passed finally that would take guns out of the hands of child abusers, spousal abusers. When final protection orders are approved by a jury trial, that means you go to court, you are tried in court for child abuse, spousal abuse, and part of the sentence is you're under a quote-unquote final protection order. Therefore, you cannot own guns while you're under that protection order. Sorry, too bad. You're a child abuser. You're a spousal abuser. You shouldn't be owning guns of any variety, right?
And who disagrees with that except the insane fringe?
Exactly. And Donald Trump, apparently. Someone, I mean, seriously, someone during the next Trump show, one of these press availabilities, a press gaggle in the Oval Office, someone needs to ask him why he's against, you know, taking firearms away from child abusers. I just want to hear his explanation on that. He probably won't answer. Probably say something like,
Probably not.
So vicious, crazy governor in Virginia. We're going after Virginia.
No, he would never answer directly, but his minions would, and they would call it an infringement on individual rights. The Constitution, their answer would be, the Constitution says everybody can have a gun. Well, it doesn't quite say that, you know, but that's the argument. And so that makes it easier for them to posit that liberals are out to take your guns, which is just another false statement designed solely to gin up the base.
Tell me, Buzz, how this violates someone's Second Amendment rights, the notion of only being allowed to buy one firearm per month. Jesus Christ, if you can't get enough firearms, like buy 12 a year, if that's not enough for you, you've got an issue. Right. You've got a hoarding problem,
Bob,
I think.
But Bob, what if everybody in your house is a member of the Gun a Month Club? Then what do you do? Because you've got the cases of them coming in.
See, now you found a loophole. Maybe you should let Trump know about that loophole there. Meanwhile, another gun bill that they passed in Virginia mandates that if you lose your firearm, you have an obligation to report it to law enforcement. Another shocking violation of Second Amendment rights, that if you lose your firearm, you gotta tell the police.
Well, here, they're clearly violating your right not to speak.
So, I mean, these are the things that are passed there. There was no assault weapons ban. Right. You know, one of the things they wanted to pass, but they couldn't pass in Virginia, was a ban on the bump stocks, right? We all know the bump stocks from years and years ago. Certainly the massacre in Las Vegas, right? Where there was a bump stock used in that massacre, where basically the manufacturer of the bump stock, when it first came out, said, yeah, you know what? This will allow you to spray bullets like a hose. That's exactly what it does. Yeah.
And this should have been an easy one, banning bump stocks. That should have been an easy one, especially, as you said, after Vegas. And but it goes back to, here's what it is. Americans don't just want their guns.
Yeah.
Americans want their automatic weapons.
Right.
It's not just we have a right to bear arms. It's we have a right to bear military style assault weapons. And if we don't have one, we want to be able to convert the hunting rifle to one.
Well, here's the thing with the bump stock ban. One of the reasons why it didn't make it to the floor in the Virginia legislature is because Donald Trump already banned bump stocks. That's the secret. You can't buy bump stocks. This is one of the things that actually didn't pass in Virginia. So in a strange way, Donald Trump has done more along the lines of
accidentally
banning certain equipment. Yeah, yeah.
It is. He acts in the moment and then, you know, is called to task for it later. He never owns responsibility for it. We've seen this throughout the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah.
Where he'll make a prediction or a claim and disavow it months later. He will pretend. He likes to pretend things never happened. Mm-hmm. It was he went for the bump stock ban when he did, because at that moment in time, it was the politically expedient thing to do.
Yeah.
Any official act he has performed during the coronavirus crisis has been because of pressure upon him to do it. It was the thing to do in the moment to get out from under the gun.
Yeah.
In this case, but it you know, this is what he does. And so he's long forgotten and hopes everyone else had forgotten that he had already passed a bump stock ban.
Yeah.
When Virginia failed to do so. You know, this is, it's again demonizing in this case an entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And again making a false claim about something liberals have no intention of doing.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact they are doing the will of the people according to the polls.
Well, again, it's one of those situations, Buzz, where it doesn't matter whether or not it's true, as long as Donald Trump says it, then all of his disciples inside of his red hat cult will believe that it's actually true. It's the same.
And
with
and the more that he repeats it and the more that they repeat it, the more quote true it becomes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same with the Obamagate nonsense. Bill Barr said yesterday that Barack Obama and Joe Biden will not be criminally investigated as part of this John Durham probe into the oranges of the Russia investigation. But it doesn't matter, because all Donald Trump needs to do is say that Barack Obama and Joe Biden broke the law and did something horrible. And by the way, also, I noticed today, podcaster Joe Rogan said on his show that, it was totally against the law. What Obama did during the 2016 campaign by apparently spying on Trump, which never happened, is absolutely against the law. Joe Rogan said this same day that Bill Barr himself said, oh, no, we're not investigating. No, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, not under investigation for criminal activity with regard to the Russia investigation. So just wanted to throw that in there, because there's a ton of like Alex Jones style disinformation being injected into the discourse by Joe Rogan. And we shouldn't underestimate his reach, because he's the number one podcaster in the world. So that's kind of a big deal. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Joe Rogan is living proof that some people shouldn't do marijuana. just a few, you know, but there's some. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I know. It's so. You know what? I said this, I think, on the after party. Kimberly and I were talking about this on Friday's show. And it bears repeating that it's such a disappointment, because I used to be friends with Joe Rogan. I mean, in fact, when I first started my animation studio, Joe Rogan was my very first client, hired me to do some monkey cartoons for his personal website and so on. So, and we developed a friendship out of that. I mean, we spent, you know, at least once a week. We talked about once a week at the time over the phone. I remember we talked about when Phil Hartman died and Joe Rogan, you know, shared the stage with Phil Hartman on news radio. But now he's become kind of a kook. I don't know why, because again, it's not like he needs the traffic. He's got all the traffic. He's got all the podcasting money. So I don't get it, but that's a tangent.
And I don't understand why. I really don't understand why.
I don't get it either. And by the way, Buzz, please help me out on this. I'm being told by people on Twitter that I shouldn't repeat the word, the portmanteau, whatever you want to call it, Obamagate. I shouldn't say that. How do we talk about Obamagate without mentioning Obamagate? How do we
know. I've been one of the people who've been having fun on Twitter with the president's all caps tweets with the exclamation mark that say Obamagate. I've enjoyed retweeting them and changing them to other things. Like I retweeted in all caps with an exclamation mark, rabbit season. And, you know, because I thought, well, if we're going to have this level of discussion, We should, you know, so I've been having fun playing with it. I've tweeted back, or retweeted rather, Obama great, which I have to thank my dear listener, Jeff Shaw, for, because he came up with the interpretation of it.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Really good one.
I did all caps Obama great with an exclamation
Obama
mark.
Great.
And,
perfect.
And there have been others. You know, people have answered things like potato salad and other nonsensical answers to that. And that's been fun. I think repeating it in that way underscores the ridiculousness of
right.
it. And sometimes we need a little of that comic relief. Otherwise, I would not. If it were an actual discussion, I would never engage in it with him. But if we're gonna shout random things back and forth, sure, I'll play. That sounds like fun.
Well, you know, the solution is staring us right in the face. Obama great is perfect. I think if we say Obama great from now on.
Not
a bad idea. But
it's already, I mean, whether you believe William Barr or you don't, and I certainly understand if you don't believe him. He says he's not going to pursue this an investigation of either Obama or Biden, which indicates to me that he will not pursue an investigation of what Trump is calling Obamagate.
Yeah.
That in itself is a message that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
The president has certainly been completely nonspecific about what Obamagate is, and that's left others to try to explain it in the best ways they can.
Yeah.
And they've plugged in all the usual theories, all the crazy stuff you've heard before, much of which, as you pointed out, like spying on the Trump campaign, spying on Trump Tower, proven didn't happen.
Yeah.
This was the thing that Devin Nunes in the night tiptoed across the White House lawn to plant this idea with Trump. Yeah, make a cartoon of that.
Yeah, with his stupid little cosplay ninja uniform or something. He had to change cabs once on his way there to make sure that he wasn't being followed.
That cartoon sound effect when they tiptoe across.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that's funny. I mean, here's the thing. Again, there doesn't need to be any crime, and they certainly can't name any.
Right.
Anyone who's playing around with the Obama great meme can't name a single law that was violated. And meanwhile, what Donald Trump is doing right now with Joe Biden by investigating all of these people from the Obama administration, Donald Trump is basically doing the same thing to Joe Biden what Donald Trump insists Barack Obama did to Donald Trump. Does that make any sense? Where
no.
The sitting president is investigating his political rival running against him in a...
Exactly. And that is the thing. That's the thing he was accusing Obama of, and that's the similarity. Yeah. It is also to obscure a completely botched handling of the pandemic. It's also to obscure the obviously clumsy political firing of the latest in a series of inspectors general.
Yeah.
There's a lot to distract from and a lot to cover up here. And Trump will use Obamagate and super duper missiles to see like that. And he'll use those kinds of things to distract from the much bigger, more important stories of, 90,000 Americans dying.
And then the big elephant in the room in all of this nonsense is the fact that it was not Barack Obama, but Donald Trump who presided over the executive branch of government while Mike Flynn was, one, fired. Donald Trump fired Mike Flynn from the White House. Two, Mike Flynn was arrested, indicted, prosecuted, pled guilty, and twice. Then was nearly sentenced on many, many occasions. I mean, remember, it was one of Rachel Maddow's things for the longest time. Oh, they're going to do a sentencing hearing for Mike Flynn today. Oh, it's been postponed. How is that in any way linked to Barack Obama? It was Donald Trump's Justice Department who engaged in this entire prosecution of Mike Flynn up through and including right now. Because Mike Flynn is still on trial.
But again, never mind the facts to Trump's supporters. And that's, again, what he's feeding here. The implication is that Mike Flynn was framed to make Donald Trump look bad.
Right.
And,
okay.
And now, because the Barr withdrew the charges, Flynn was then legally able to withdraw both of his guilty pleas. So there for a second, there for a second before wonderful Judge Sullivan stepped in.
Yeah.
For a second, it looked like this was just going to spin out of control and that the Flynn case would just turn to dust. Mm-hmm. And then Judge Sullivan stepped in. This was dramatic and exciting. And he's chosen a very prepared prosecutor to investigate whether Flynn committed perjury by saying he was guilty or not guilty, and whether the things he said, either the things he said to the FBI when he was cooperating are true or they are not true, which he's now saying they aren't. So which time was he lying? Obviously, perjury has been committed here, and I think we know how or in what favor, but it has been committed here. So that's being investigated thanks to a prosecutor chosen by Judge Sullivan.
This is the nut of the actual Bill Barr, John Durham investigation of the Obama administration. They're gonna look at people like James Comey. That's going to be the subject of the unmasking allegations and all of that crap.
Yeah, which by connection, which connects to Obama. I mean, eventually it will tie back to them. There won't be any direct investigations, perhaps, of Obama or Biden, but lots of evidence will be laid out to create suspicion about them. Mm-hmm. And that's really all they need to accomplish here. Yeah. Not that they haven't already with the base. This just reinforces it, that they're still going after that crooked Obama administration.
Right. And again, there doesn't need to be a crime. All there needs to be is the patina of a crime or Donald Trump saying, hey, look it. I mean, it's another one of those things where Donald Trump can't help but say that phrase over and over again. Hey, look at Pelosi. Look at the Democrats. Look at James Comey. Look at Joe Biden. Look at Hunter Biden. Look at Burisma. That's all he has to say. He doesn't actually have to go, well, then if we take a look here at the criminal statute, then flip down to Section 3 of that particular statute, and therein lies the violation of the law. None of that is going on here. It's just, ooh, look at what they're doing. Look. No. And because I'm doing it in this weird, suspicious tone of voice, it's all really, really happening. And then all the red hats go, yeah, it's really happening, whatever it is he's saying, that guy.
And the legalese, the legal machinations, the hoops that are jumped through here to explain and try to justify all of this, far too complicated for the general public to follow, certainly Trump supporters. I don't think they certainly can. But all they need to hear is the essence of it. They just need to hear, Trump's going after those crooks in the Obama administration, and therefore we have to reelect him because we want to get that guy.
Well, the great...
That's really what it's all about, is Obama.
Oh, yeah, sure. And the last word on this particular topic is, Trump always makes things worse for Trump. And in this case, what they have done, and I've been saying this for a while now, ever since the Durham investigation was opened, this is another situation where Donald Trump is creating a precedent while standing in a gigantic glass house. He's hurling boulders at Barack Obama while nesting in a gigantic glass White House. So in other words, what that means is Donald Trump is setting a precedent now where sitting administrations can go ahead and investigate the previous administration. That has never happened until Bill Barr appointed John Durham to look into the oranges of the investigation. That all happened in April of last year. Remember the thing in the Oval Office where Donald Trump was saying oranges instead of origins? That's when it began, around that same day. That's when Bill Barr was asked by Donald Trump to appoint a U.S. attorney to look into the oranges of the Russia investigation, and here we are a year later. And
I guess we're grateful for the precedent, because there'll be plenty of investigations of the Trump administration once it is gone, as I believe it will be after January 20th.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be a big fucking deal. I think Joe Biden said this week that he's not going to interfere in any way with his Justice Department. He is going to.
Right.
And by the way, I almost said Justice Department. That would be the appropriate Bill Barr name of that.
Yeah, that's they actually changed the letters on the building to reflect that.
Okay. All right. So imagine going into that Zoom meeting. What do you see on that screen when you look at yourself? I don't know what the little cameras on our phones and on our computers do to us, whether they make us look. Because I hear that cameras add 10 pounds, but I'm not sure if that means studio cameras for a television show or the little cameras on your computer. It doesn't matter. Zoom meetings with coworkers and clients are great till you notice those bags under your eyes and deep wrinkles. Let me tell you, these cameras catch everything. Now imagine they're gone. And I'm not talking about the cameras. I'm talking about the fine lines, deep wrinkles, and so on. Imagine they're gone with no risky or expensive surgery, just gone in a matter of minutes. We're talking about Plexaderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags, all in the comfort of your own home. Plexaderm is the solution for Zoom meeting eyes. That's now a new thing. Plexaderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be great on Zoom meetings or FaceTiming with friends. They'll sure be surprised when they see you this summer. The best part is Plexaderm goes on clear, lasts for hours, so nobody's going to know that you're using it unless you tell them. Go to tryplexaderm.com and use my code VOICES, all caps, for half off a full-size bottle of Plexaderm, plus an extra $10 off. That's half off, plus an extra $10 off. Or you can call 1-800-685-1292, mention the code VOICES. Plexaderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexaderm.com. Use the code VOICES. That's code VOICES at triplexaderm.com.
Well, Literati, the number one subscription book club for kids, now in quarantine, more important than ever. Stella tweeted, Steph, you have the best sponsors. I just ordered Literati for Jack, who is my surrogate grandson. I lost my sister last year to cancer. My best friend, my North Star, her one request as she was dying was to take care of Jack and her kids as if they were my own. I do. You sent it to your nephews. I sent it to my ex, Lisa, and her newborn. And everybody's raving about them.
Oh, my God. He was so excited. He, like, went and got his books and showed them to us on FaceTime. It was amazing.
I got the pictures of them. You've got to get Literati. Libraries, schools, bookstores are closed. Literati has you covered with something truly unique. Every Literati box contains 5 books based on a theme with exclusive original art and a personalized note just to your child. Do it now for a limited time. Go to literati.com/Stephanie for 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to literati.com/Stephanie, 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. Literati.com/Stephanie, terms and conditions apply.
The Bob Seska Show. Sets the stone around my will. It's enough to feel the tug of frustration slowly sloping downhill. Cast off, released, left to float with the debris. Adrift.
This is one of our favorites on the show, Paul Mellinson. A song called Saint Cecilia from, he's got a brand new album out. This album is so cool. It's called The Get-Go's Action Hour. And it's and it's set up like a campy 1970s like superhero show. Like Scooby-Doo or one of those shows, one of those Hanna-Barbera series on Saturday mornings. Very cool. back in the 70s. Yeah, it's even got a cover like that. There's a theme song for the show. That's track one on the album. Paul Mellinson's one of my favorites. You're going to hear a lot more from this album in coming shows. Really appreciate
it. Very nice.
Yeah. Link in the description to support Paul's music and to buy this album. Also, bobseska.com/music if you want to submit your songs for the show. Thank you for doing that. Got another indie music countdown. Oh, my God, we're coming up on the end of the month again. That'll be probably somewhere.
Little time.
Yeah, a little bit of time. Maybe May 31. I think that's when the we'll actually do the May indie music countdown in May, which seldom happens. It always ends up being a few days too late. But that's
it's a radical way to go, but if you want to.
Okay, so why do you think Trump said he's taking hydroxychloroquine? It doesn't matter whether or not he was telling the truth. For some reason, he felt the need to say that he was doing it, that he's been taking hydroxychloroquine for the last 2 weeks, was it that he said?
The president of the United States, it no longer matters whether he's telling the truth.
That's right. I mean, that's where we are. I mean, the big debate emerged yesterday online. Oh, is he serious? Is he lying? Of course he's lying. The assumption always has to be that he's lying. When do we ever go, oh, well, he was lying there, and it turns out he was telling the truth? When has that ever once happened? I don't think it's ever happened.
And, you know, I mean, we don't know. Maybe he is, or maybe he isn't. I mean, the natural conclusion is, but what if it's a trick, Bob? What what if it's a double blind? He may be taking it, he may not. It's understandable and natural that we presume that he's lying. Either way, it's a very dangerous thing. If he were taking it, and he shouldn't, as Nancy said, because of the morbidly obese thing, he shouldn't be taking it at all. It's certainly against the advice of doctors and scientists. The drug has actually, it could be argued that the drug has killed more patients than it has saved in terms of COVID-19.
Yeah.
More patients given the drug with COVID-19 died than did patients with COVID-19 who were not given the drug. That is a fact in the trials and the numbers that we have so far.
Yeah.
It is specifically, there's a warning from the Food and Drug Administration not to use it unless you're in the hospital or, you know, some certain other conditions that a doctor is involved in. He just got a guy, got Dr. Nick to write him a letter, because
hi, everybody.
He is President Elvis after all. And as I've said all along, he's just, you know, he's fat, you know,
the
pills and the Adderall and the it's very much like Elvis I believe he will keep giving forever in much the same way that Elvis did.
Yeah.
Only less pleasantly. But this is what we're dealing with here. And it is, of course, dangerous. We know what happened last time. We saw the sale of hydroxychloroquine go up when Trump talked about it last time. You know that's happening again this time.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it not available for the people with lupus and malaria who actually freaking need it for those prescribed conditions. We saw people die both in the United States and in Nigeria after the president suggested the injection of disinfectants. This is dangerous stuff. And of course, the question as to the degree of Trump's financial involvement in the sale of hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, well, I think that's why he's doing it. I think he's involved in another multi-level marketing scheme here. And we've seen him do it before. When he was the host of The Celebrity Apprentice, he and Junior and possibly Eric, I'm not sure if Eric was involved in this, but they were stupidly pushing a video phone. Remember those? Remember before there were, were computers at the time. I guess there was Skype at the time, but Donald Trump decided that he's going to get involved with this company that's trying to push this video phone. And so Trump and his boy Junior kept repeatedly plugging this video phone on the show, and they ended up getting in trouble for it. Because again, it was a multi-level marketing scheme. And I believe that's what he's doing now with hydroxychloroquine. By the way, I wanted to mention, I've got the list of side effects from taking hydroxychloroquine. So I thought,
is there music for this?
I think that we can find some music here.
Yeah, excellent.
Here's the Doogie Howser theme. This is the...
Oh, good.
This is as close as I can get to medical music here.
It's fine.
Let's see. Nausea. Vomiting. Stomach pain or cramps. Loss of appetite. Weight loss. Diarrhea. Dizziness. Spinning sensation.
See, he already has those. Diarrhea, dizziness, and spinning sensation. He's already got those.
Let's see. Headache. Ringing in your ears. Mood changes. That's certainly one of his. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nervousness.
Uh-huh.
Also, we've been seeing that quite a bit. Irritability. Sure.
Yeah.
Skin rash. I don't know if we've seen a skin rash on Trump, although he's got that clown makeup. Anything
does
could be
orange count? Yeah, right.
Itching or hair loss.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope there's lots of itching. In fact... You know, some would say that I've been wishing a lot of itching on the president. I just, you know, sometimes I just go, oh, God, I hope the itching is awful. I hope he suffers some kind of horrible itching episode.
He doesn't mind the itching, but he doesn't like the burning.
Hates the itching, but doesn't mind the swelling. Let's see. Muscle weakness. Twitching. Uncontrolled movement. We've seen that, too. He's got, like, lots of herky-jerky moves now. He does, like, this thing with his elbow, where his elbow jerks out strangely and randomly. loss of balance or coordination.
Oh, that's the elbow thing. Yeah. Trying to gain his balance.
Blurred vision. Light sensitivity. Seeing halos around lights. Well, only he would know that. Pale skin.
He only sees a halo around Ivanka.
Pale skin. Easy bruising or bleeding. We can only hope.
Oh, yeah. If only we could know.
Here's the key. Confusion. Confusion is a side effect.
Number one. We have a winner.
And here we go. This is the ultimate Trump side effect from taking hydroxychloroquine. Oh, really? Unusual thoughts or behavior. He's absolutely taking hydroxychloroquine. I take that back. What I said about him lying. My hope is that he's taking it now. Now that I've seen all of these side effects.
And again. I think we have to keep repeating why this is happening.
Yeah.
Why did he say that he was taking hydroxychloroquine, whether he is or not, aside from the multi-level marketing scheme? There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
This is about a distracting conversation away from the late Friday night firing of the latest inspector general, who was looking into Mike Pompeo's apparently illegal arms sale to Saudi Arabia against the will of Congress, and making a guy walk his dog.
Well, here's my question about that, about the distraction theory, which is that he did this. He made this big announcement about hydroxychloroquine. He's been taking it for 2 weeks. Did this in the middle of an event where he was doing one of his corporate open mics, where they were sitting around a gigantic circular banquet table thing inside the East Room, it looked like. So he's doing this gigantic event where he's trying to
circle
put...
Circle jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Gigantic circle jerk with all these corporate CEOs. Why would he want to distract all of that with suddenly blurting something that's completely unrelated about hydroxychloroquine? That's my only question.
Because he can't focus, because he has no attention span, because he has multiple sort of agendas, revenge agendas on his mind that he wants to pursue.
Yeah.
And he wants to get them all out there. He doesn't want to miss an opportunity to blurt out not just what he thinks, but everything he thinks.
Well, then again, we have the side effect, Buzz, unusual thoughts or behavior. So that may explain everything.
That was there before the hydroxychloroquine, so we're gonna have to blame another drug for that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Who knows what he's been taking all this time? Because his justification for taking it yesterday was, why not? I read some good things. I saw some things. I read good things about it.
Which would explain why he would take Adderall or whatever else he's taking.
Yes. But it's also, once again, another illustration, another gigantic plug for Tom Nichols' book, The Death of Expertise. Something that I talked about with Tom when he was on the show was, well, you know, one of the examples I see of the death of expertise are all of the pharmaceutical ads. And this relates directly to what Trump was saying about hydroxychloroquine, which is we see all of these ads advertised for not doctors who prescribe these medications, but to consumers. And then the ads tell us, the non-professional, these non-experts, to ask our doctors about this medication, X or Y, Lipitor, or what have you. And so we're being tasked with pitching to our doctors. So the flow of expertise is going the wrong way. It should go from our doctors to us, not us to our doctors.
Actually, just a tiny bit more to it than that, and that is that the flow of information is going from the pharmaceutical companies directly to us and directly to the doctors.
Yeah.
So while the pharmaceutical companies are telling us, ask your doctor if hydroxychloroquine's right for you, they're also, the same drug companies are, and there have been some crackdowns on this, but they're doing what they can to communicate with and influence doctors into recommending this drug. So the drug company is coming at you from two different directions, through your doctor and directly. So that, you want to talk about multi-level marketing, that's a pretty good example of it right there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really coming from there. And, you know, the goal there is not science. The goal there, once it gets in the hands of the marketers of the drug company, the goal is to sell the stuff, to move it.
Yeah. And by the way, on top, speaking of doctors, Donald Trump's doctor, Dr. Nick Riviera.
Right.
Hi, everybody.
Wrote this bogus letter. And once again, first of all, the doctor who wrote this letter doesn't actually say that he prescribed hydroxychloroquine for Donald Trump. That's not anywhere in this. He said, after numerous discussions he and I had regarding the evidence for and against the use of hydroxychloroquine, we concluded the potential benefit from treatment outweighed the relative risks. But he doesn't say, he said, I prescribed it to the president and he's been taking it on this regimen or that regimen this many times a day or this many tablets per dose or whatever, this many milligrams. None of that is in here.
Hey, I believe that, you know, this is one of those things you can't even order online from India.
Yeah.
There are a number of drugs you can do that with. But these drugs, the hydroxychloroquine that Trump is taking, as I understand it, are Bayer pills that are coming from India.
Oh, really? Is that what he's taking? That's what he's apparently taking, I should say.
If he is, in fact, taking it. I mean, you know, I come across a lot of information. I haven't had a chance to vet what I just told you, nor have I had a chance to vet the fact that I've also, as I understand it, patients, COVID-19 patients, are given four of these tablets, not just one. And he was saying he takes a pill a day. So it may be, and again, I don't know enough about this, it may be a low enough dose that if he were taking it, then it might be harmless if he's up walking around. If he, in fact, gets the virus, with his weight and age, he's at high risk.
I figured it out, Buzz. Here's how getting it. He's sending Devin Nunes, dressed in like a giant sombrero and one of those really kind of stereotypical Mexican ponchos, across the border from California into Tijuana, Mexico, to get the illegal hydroxychloroquine and then smuggle it back across in his rectum. Devin Nunes has Trump's hydroxychloroquine inside Devin Nunes' rectum and then delivers that to the White House, just like he was delivering information from the House Intelligence Committee.
Well, that makes it a Russian nesting doll because Devin Nunes lives in Donald Trump's rectum. So there you have it.
I was thinking, we've added a new dimension to Devin Nunes' trickery with Donald Trump. Devin Nunes is smuggling things to Trump in his rectum.
Right. He's the middle nesting doll.
And he's not even putting him inside condoms. He's just ramming that shit up there. He doesn't care. He likes it. He's into it. He's into that sensation. The other thing about this doctor is, once again, he's a commander in the U.S. Navy. And my question is, and I've received some information along these lines, but, you know, the commander in chief can order anyone he wants inside the executive branch to do anything and say anything that he orders them to do.
Yes, but, yeah.
Well,
the but is there that every grunt, every soldier is told that there are orders he does not have to, and in fact, he or she must not obey, and that it's important to know what those are and to stand up to them when they come. So part of that military oath is to do just that. Part of that military training is to do just that. But so on one hand, most of the times, I think what you get is a military man in that position or woman trying to make the best of a bad situation, trying to placate the commander, at the same time not carry out a ridiculous order.
Well, remember, too, that in addition to having commander-in-chief powers over the entire military, certainly, but also the rest of the federal government, Donald Trump also has been purging the federal government of anyone who is disloyal. So knowing that they're in this climate where people are getting fired for not being sufficiently loyal to Donald Trump would add another layer of motivation. Like, okay, you can write this letter or you can be out on the breadlines dealing with the coronavirus and dealing with the unemployment market that is sky fucking high, where there's we got 30, 40 million people out of work. So, Commander Sean P. Conley, you can either do what Donald Trump asks you to do or you can be out of work at the worst possible time imaginable. So I think maybe that's the trash compactor that these guys find themselves in. So I'm not ruling out, but it's a possibility. Yeah.
This is part of the suppression of science and medical science. And it's not just loyalty. It's actually, I think, a bigger story than that. Yeah. Beyond loyalty, I think that's how Trump looks at it. I think Trump looks at it as purging the government of those who are not loyal to him. The bigger picture and the bigger story is he's purging from government the independent oversight watchdogs we have in place, the inspectors general over health and human services and transportation and the State Department and on and on and on. Oversight completely gone because he wants to be a president free of oversight. That's the terrifying thing here. The thing to remember, if I can add a positive note to this, is I had to laugh last night when, or this morning, I guess, when I heard that Trump now wants to permanently cut off all funding to the World Health Organization.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic. But what made me laugh was the word permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Permanently till January 20th.
That's right. I don't know that he thinks in those terms.
No.
I think he, honest to God, believes that he's going to be president for the rest of his life. And that's what, seriously, is the thing that makes me panic the most when I think of all this shit.
But learn to laugh at words like permanently when you hear them from him. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good habit to get into at this point. And I also think that we need to remain focused on the 90,000 people who are dead and the dismantling of democracy with the elimination of all oversight from the executive branch.
Yep.
There's some serious crap going on here, folks, and there's a lot of entertaining stuff, including the hydroxychloroquine thing and the dog walking thing. Oh, there's good comedy fodder to be had here.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, sure, go for it, but don't let us distract us from these much bigger, much more frightening, much more devastatingly impactful things.
What I'm seeing now is a pulling back from discussing the fact that Donald Trump, one, is responsible for a significant portion of the coronavirus deaths at this point.
Tens of thousands of deaths are on him. Yeah, not all of them, but tens of thousands.
Right. And so what's happening is because of the way Trump is playing this, because of the way Fox News is playing this, certainly the Red Hat cult, how they're playing it, there's a tendency to take that off the table. It's sort of like what happened with the Russia investigation. As soon as Bill Barr issued that letter about the Mueller report, suddenly everyone kind of withdrew from the urgency of it. And now here we are, after all of the evidence that was presented, showing collusion, obviously proving that Russia attacked in order to help Donald Trump. That's, no one's disagreeing about that, at least in official circles.
Even today, our intelligence agencies agree on that.
Yeah, but what happens is, as soon as there's a little bit of information that says, I don't know, all of a sudden, we all kind of back away from it a little bit. I just get a sense that people are backing away from emphasizing the brutal, brutal reality that Donald Trump has vastly worsened this crisis. And for some reason, he continues to get away with it. And I will never understand, Buzz, how that happens, how that dynamic works. I guess it's a dynamic that has to do with the cult-like nature of Trump and his Red Hat Army. I guess that's it, but it just seems it should be a bigger deal with the normals than it actually is, too.
I think it is. I think if you look at the numbers, I think it is. Okay. I think, I don't think people have moved much. You either love Trump or you hate him.
Yeah.
And those needles haven't moved very much. I'm not sure. And so I get a little nervous when I hear, people have let go of this. No, I don't think so. I mean, not the people I see. Certainly the journalists have not let go of it. I think a majority of the public is very keenly aware of what a lousy job he's done with this and how many people, frankly, have died because of it.
Yeah.
The current polls show that most people expect the coronavirus crisis to get worse in the months ahead, not better. So he's instilled no confidence there. I just don't know if people are accepting of Donald Trump's failure in this crisis. And I don't think I think it'll still be going strong enough. They won't have forgotten it on November 3rd.
But I don't know. It feels like there's not enough emphasis being placed, given the degree of this particular Donald Trump crime slash scandal slash whatever you want to call it, incompetence, all the rest of it. Seems like it should be a much, much bigger deal than it actually is. And again, I can only,
of course,
I can only conclude that it's the usual hindrances to all of that.
You share my stunned state. You share my astonishment at the fact that, and people have ridiculed me about this. I'm glad that this came up. My astonishment, and I sense it in what you just said, that the math and science that we were raised on, the math and science we were taught in school, no longer applies.
Mm-hmm.
It's out the window. It does not matter. What matters is what you think, what you feel, and what you believe. Facts be damned.
Yep.
That's the world we have evolved into. Certainly this American society has evolved into. And I for one, am surprised that we have lost science and math. And people said, oh, dear sweet Buzz, you poor naive child. You know, bless your heart for being so optimistic. No, I'm right about this, and here's why. Those insane, stupid, flat earth ideas have always been around.
Yeah.
That fluoride in our drinking water was a communist plot. This is the sort of thing we've been hearing forever. It's always been around, I'll grant you. Never in this quantity.
Yeah.
Never in this large of a percentage. Never to this degree have, and we've lost so much. We've lost science and math and democracy and civility.
We've lost reality.
And again, as I've said before, while Democrats argue over the shade of blue of the sky, Republicans argue it's green. And you can't communicate, you can't reconcile that. It's one color or the other. It's not greenish. Maybe it's greenish blue. I don't see it, but you know, the point is, and we're set in our ways. You know, both sides. It's never going to change. But now a too large percentage of society embraces conspiracy theories over known math and science.
Yeah, and I think, and as I'm trying to crystallize this in my head, I feel like what tends to happen sometimes is we have this gigantic scandal sitting in front of us, and we're looking at this going, yes, Donald Trump exacerbated this crisis, made it far, far worse. Tens of thousands of people have now died because of Donald Trump's incompetence, unlike any previous president that any of us can fucking remember. But then when the other side, or when the press doesn't make as big a deal out of it as we do, we tend to go, fuck it. Fuck it. It's not sticking to the wall. Fuck it. And then we don't stop talking about it. But I think the level of the urgency that we felt, kind of the edges get shaved off a little bit. It's not as sharp an issue. It's not something we say, this is a thing. And you guys need to start talking about this now. Instead, we just kind of go, fuck it. It's not sticking to the wall. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
And the American people are complicit with the media in this, because both. Yeah. The media and the public have a tendency to have very short attention spans.
Yeah, right.
However, I will say, in the case of this very important Inspector General Pompeo investigation, this thing's just getting started. This is going to be around for a while. As far as the coronavirus, the deaths are still climbing. As we get to 100,000 and 120,000 and 125,000 and up and up and up beyond that, people say, well, they weren't bothered by 90,000. What do you think? 100? The numbers do matter, and the people will. I think people will tire of it. I think people will be tired of it. And you know, there's some possibly promising things on the horizon. We certainly hope that they're true. But for now, all we have is chaos. We still lack, and this is a scandal that can be hammered away at. There's still no national strategy for dealing with this pandemic.
Nope.
There is no national strategy for testing or contact tracing. And until there is, it is still not safe to reopen. We're already seeing increased cases in states that have reopened, have partially reopened. Georgia's now doctoring the numbers instead of people to make it look like they've made progress and that Governor Kemp made the right decision in reopening. But the numbers are going to disprove all of these claims. And the media is certainly not through reporting on coronavirus, especially as the death toll climbs. So I understand your concern about, oh, I'm afraid these things will be forgotten by Election Day. I will say this, if it's not these things, it will be something else, because with Trump always making things worse for Trump, and with him being a T-shirt cannon of scandals, the stuff is just going to keep coming.
on T-shirt cannon of scandals, we're going to take one. We're way late for a break. We're going to take one last break and come back and wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, from York, Pennsylvania, this is Kenan Blockson and a song called If You Only Knew. Really great, yeah. This is a big hit on our after-party show from Friday when we originally premiered this. All right, we have a few minutes left here. I just noticed a breaking news item coming down. First of all, before we get to the breaking news, we have lost Buzz. The power has gone out in his neighborhood in Florida, so there's no electricity for him to run all of his doodads inside of his studio. So we're going to finish up the show just with me.
Thank you, Florida.
I know, it's so very disappointing to all of you. No, shut up. Stop whining.
Stop whining.
Thank you. Okay, so the breaking news was Senator Mitch McConnell announced on the Senate floor just now that Senate Republicans are taking steps to issue new subpoenas to a wide variety of Obama administration officials. Once again, here we are in that same situation where we're talking about precedent here. I'm just looking at a text here from Buzz. I was just informed the power will be out for the next, how many hours? The next 3 hours. Oh, great. So I don't think there's going to be a postmortem show. I don't think there will be a postmortem show today. We'll see what happens, as Donald Trump says. But at this point, I don't think Buzz is going to be around for the rest of the show here. So anyway, so of course, we're setting another precedent here through Mitch McConnell. Watch for if the Democrats take back the Senate this November, which is entirely possible. Don't forget the map. It's very, very favorable for the Democrats, even without a blue wave. If that happens, we're going to be talking about the unsealing of all kinds of information from the Trump White House if the election goes the right way, of course, not only in the Senate, but also with the presidency. So this is just a more dumb moves, obviously, to appease the red hats and to get them all charged up for the election. I guess this is all about energy. This is all about getting them all hyped up. We're going after the Obama administration. Yes, everyone come out and support us. Everyone send us money because we're taking on Obama. That's a smart idea. Oh, shit.
Obama!
Well, this is the point in which Buzz would talk about it. But we don't have Buzz. It sucks. Anyway, that's it for the show. Again, if the power comes back at Buzz's place, within the next 10-15 minutes or so, which looks very unlikely, we'll try to record a post-mortem show. But if not, I don't know what we're going to do. You know what? You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get T-Rex in here. We're going to do a post-mortem show for 15 minutes or something like that. Or at least I'm going to try. All right. Well, if you want to listen to the post-mortem show, whether we do one today or not, you have to subscribe on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Or if you don't know how to spell Patreon, just BobSeskaShow.com. That's the easiest way to do it. Or if you want a more convenient way to do it, just go to BobSeska.com and click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo. That'll get you to our Patreon page, where you can subscribe for $5 a month to get the post-mortem show twice a week. If you sign up for $10 a month, you get the post-mortem show plus the after party. $15 a week will get you to a commercial-free version, the ultimate edition of this show, plus the post-mortem show, plus the after party. You get everything we offer at $15 a month. Again, BobSeskaShow.com. Meanwhile, the best hour of news you're going to get all week is Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com, and everywhere you get your podcasts. Oh, and don't forget to support all of your favorite Sexy Liberal programs at SexyLiberal.com. That includes Jody Hamilton. That includes Dana Goldberg. That includes John Fugelsang. And in fact, I was on John Fugelsang's show yesterday. We recorded yesterday. I don't know when it drops, probably this week. But you can hear me on John's show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. One of these days. Very, very soon. All right, that's it for the show. We will see you on the post-mortem show, maybe. Take care, folks. Bye-bye. Now more than ever, we're all thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands, sneezing into our arms. We're not touching our face. We're not groping ourselves. We're not doing anything. But what about your cell phone? It's a huge carrier of germs. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely ever clean them. We're constantly touching our phones with our hands, even pressing them to our face. It's time to take cleaning your phone seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safer for your device, the Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean with 9 high-power UVC lights. There's a dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You can be sanitizing your other items while wirelessly charging your phone, or just use the Clean Phone Pro as your go-to charging station any damn time. A fully removable top means easier fit for more items and larger items. Go to thecleanphone.com today and get one for just $89 and free shipping when you use the code SEXYLIBERAL. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com and keep your phone truly clean. Remember to use the code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, for 2-day free shipping, and it's going to ship immediately. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com.